Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. My guest today is a young woman who cares deeply about ensuring that everyone in her community understands their legal rights under Title IX, which prohibits discrimination based on gender. Rachel from Orange County started the Title IX Advocacy Initiative and speaks passionately about the ways that young people who care about justice and fairness can make a difference in their communities. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Rachel. She is here from California. She's going to tell us all about this wonderful advocacy work that she does. Hey, Rachel, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, how old you are, all that good stuff, and then tell us all about the Title IX Advocacy Initiative.
Of course. So, hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm the founder of Title IX Advocacy Initiative, or T9AI for short. And I am a student at Orange County School of the Arts, located in California, Orange County. I am a daughter of immigrants and someone who grew up surrounded by stories of women who had to fight twice as hard just to be heard. So my advocacy is really, really surrounded around that and how I come from a long line of women who were told to shrink themselves. My grandmother, who gave up her education to work, my mother, who learned to survive in a country where she barely spoke the language. And then there was me sitting in a high school hallway, watching girls whisper about things they had experienced and not realizing that they had the legal rights to protect them. So when I found out that most students couldn't even name their Title IX coordinator, their very person who's supposed to handle cases of sexual harassment, assault, and discrimination, I was really shocked, and I couldn't unlearn that statistic. So I couldn't stand the idea that girls my age were suffering in silence simply because no one had told them you were protected or you had the right to be safe here. So in early 2025, I launched Title IX Advocacy Initiative, or T9AI, to make that information impossible to miss. So right now we run workshops in schools, we create plain language resources, we use social media to break down words that every student can understand. And then we partnered with community organizations like New Praise Church. And so far we've reached hundreds of students, but yeah.
That's amazing. So why don't we take a little step back? I love the spark, the inspiration for you. So just for anyone listening, because remember we have kids listening and teens and adults even, can you explain exactly what Title IX is and what protections that it ensures, right? And how it operates in schools so that we are all kind of coming from the same place? And then tell us how you disseminate all of this information. How are you doing it in your own school? Are you spreading out to other schools? But let's start from the beginning with exactly what Title IX is.
Of course. So like the hard definition of Title IX is that it's a comprehensive federal law that prohibits discrimination based on sex in any education program or activity that receives federal funding. So it ensures equal opportunities and protections for all students, faculty, and staff, regardless of gender. So what we focus on is that a lot of this Title IX and the law, obviously a school has to upkeep that law, but especially in underprivileged communities, none of the schools really had that resource to really explain what Title IX is or have background guides available. So what we do is we go to these schools that, for example, let's say this school has a high percentage of a second language that they speak besides from English, then we'll try to make a background guide in that second language and kind of distribute it to adults.
And I'm just sort of curious, does that not already exist for schools? So you would think that the Department of Education would have these kinds of documents available on websites, or do they exist and they're just hard to access? And so you're trying to make it so that people can get to them a little easier.
Yeah, to be honest, I was really surprised too because these things are like they're legally required, but a lot of schools have a hard time keeping that up. And a lot of them, for example, they don't really have resources in that second language. And maybe they'll mention Title IX once, for example, like coffee with the principal, they'll mention it once to the parents. But what about the parents that can't make it or the parents that are too busy? I'm sure there's some schools, but not like majority, there's not a lot of schools who actually put it on their websites. And usually these resources are, yeah, like you mentioned, really hard to access. So what we want to do is just bring it to the parents and also to the students' attention.
Amazing. And explain again logistically, how are you doing this? So you talked about workshops and actually having documents that are perhaps translated into the languages that are needed in a certain school. Where can people access those things? Do you work with the administration of a school to say, hey, we want to have a workshop during your free period or whatever? So how is that working? Do you have volunteers that work with you in this regard? How are you doing the translations, for example, right? Like if someone says we need a translation in a certain language that, is a little bit out of the realm of anything that you've done in the past, where are you getting those folks that can do an accurate translation?
So there are a lot of like leaders, especially young leaders, that really want to be part of this, especially because of what's going on in America. But I have a group of volunteers, student leaders who basically told me I want to get involved, and a lot of them come from diverse backgrounds, whether they're Spanish speaking, Native American, they're also Korean like me, or they just speak a second language. I can reach out to them. I ask them, oh, what does this mean? Could you translate it? And they'll translate it for me. But also a great resource that I think I like to use as well is AI. AI is very useful in this, and just we kind of run AI ethically, and we use it ethically by asking it, oh, maybe you could translate something that we wrote into a different language. And then we'll get it checked to make sure that it's correct. And then, yeah, we kind of use that. And then, did you mention something about?
Well, if you're going to a school, a different school that you've not worked in before, you have to ask the administration, right, to give you the access to the student. So how is that working out for you?
So right now we're working around my community first, the community that I reside in. What I did was kind of reach out to the council. So council members in my city, I reached out to them and then I said, can we like chat? Can we meet? So then I went to a boba shop and I actually met one of the council members of our city. Yeah. And then he told me, I thought you were a 50-year-old lady. Like he
Oh.
was so surprised to see a 15-year-old girl just standing in the
Good
boba
for
shop.
you,
Yeah,
right?
so we kind of just talked and he told me about this youth advisory council, a lot of opportunities available, but also because I am a young person, I can also kind of advocate for opportunities that I wanted to bring as well. So I just reached out to more members, people that actually had the power to bring those opportunities.
It's only been around now for about 6 months, but have you faced any challenges in this work? Anything that sort of surprised you in the positive or the negative?
I would say the challenging part, or what surprised me, was that how, like, I didn't realize how many adults didn't know their own rights under Title IX. And so parents and teachers and even some administrators like had told me they learned something new. And that made me realize that this isn't just a student movement, but it's a community movement. I guess for me, the hardest part was the silence, that like not from the students. Like they open up the moment they realize they're in a safe space, but from institutions that are supposed to protect them. I've been ignored, told we don't need this, or asked to like tone things down. And there's a moment where you question yourself, am I making too much noise? And there's also another layer to it, like being a young person taking the lead on something this serious, it's kind of hard to get the world's attention. And when you don't have decades of experience or a long list of titles after your name, people underestimate you before they even hear you speak. But I mean, I've learned that persistence is its own kind of credential, and that the more I show up, whether it's in emails or calls or community events, I think the more they start to listen.
That's amazing. And you're absolutely right. You know, when you mentioned the council member who met you and didn't know how old you were before he met with you, it shouldn't matter, right? You are his constituent. You and your family are his constituents, and your family pays taxes and he works for you. So the fact that I'm delighted that he showed up and he gave you some good ideas and some good resources, because that's his job, right? And I think you've really raised an important point here, that there are so many laws that protect us that people are not even really aware of what they say or what the protections are, how they have any recourse. And this is a serious topic. You know, if someone is being discriminated against because of their gender, there's been some sort of sexual harassment or abuse. I mean, these are very serious and very sensitive topics. It doesn't matter how old you are. You should be able to talk about them, and you talking about them will make other young people feel safe in sharing them and talking about them as well. Well, Rachel, this is really important and wonderful work. I'm just so impressed that this moved you to the point of creating something that I think has the ability and is so important and really needs to spread. Can you share where folks could get in touch with you to maybe start something in their own community, share your resources with kids in their own school, Instagram, any kind of social media handles, any way to get in touch?
Of course. And if you're listening to this right now and thinking, we need this where I live, you're probably right. And so you can find us on Instagram at Title IX, Title IX Advocacy Initiative, no spaces. And you can send us a DM. We respond to all DMs. But I feel like I want to leave our audience with something deeper than just like a link or whatever. I feel like you don't have to wait for permission to care, and you don't have to be qualified in anyone's eyes to make a difference. So if there's an injustice in your community that keeps you awake at night, or, you know, just listen to that feeling and let it take root. And I think start small, talk to one person, write one post, gather one story. And I feel like you don't have to fix everything today, but you do have to start. Change does not wait for the right time or the right person.
That's right. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. That's beautiful. Rachel, thank you so much for summarizing that, because I think that is a really inspiring and important thing for everyone to hear, no matter what the issue is, right? No matter what they care about, they can do something today. They can start today. Thank you so much, Rachel. We're wishing you the best of luck in all things. Please check back with us soon and tell us how much success you're having, okay?
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.